Hey, we're jumping back into our Dear Timothy series. If you would head to 2 Timothy with me this morning, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We've been there for a few weeks, and we're winding down in this great little letter that Paul wrote to Timothy that, of course, would be God's word to the church. If you haven't been a part of the whole series or you've missed some weeks, you'll be okay. This message will stand on its own. But as always, you can also always go back and see any of our services. They're available on our YouTube channel, on our church's Facebook page. And if you have any difficulty finding those, again, let us know and we'll help you to connect with those things. But we're in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 this morning, going to be in verses 1 through 5 is where we'll be. I want to read to you. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Who loves the Word of God? Amen. Come on, let's consider it together. It tells us this. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, those are big things, so we'll come back to him, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, somebody say, but me. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as we continue to walk our way through this letter to the church, that you would help us to receive your word, that you would help us to understand your word. I pray clarity. I pray clarity over my delivery. I pray clarity over our understanding, Lord God, that we would be able to grasp the truths of your word and then apply them in our lives so that we might live for you more effectively. We want to be mighty in you, Lord God. That's what your word says we are, Lord God. We want to live as more than conquerors. We want to walk in victory, Lord God. So grant us the tools, grant us the spiritual weapons we need, we pray, as we spend time of your word, in your word, to be who you enable us to be. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And church, if you'd pray with me, let's pray. Father, here I am. I'm yours. Speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whoever you came to church with, tell them this is for you. Amen. Come on. Hey, but you. That was the word that was in that passage that Paul wrote to say. wrote to Timothy. It's just the second letter that we've got that Paul wrote to Timothy. But you. There's a contrast. A couple of Sundays ago, we looked at a message that I titled, But As For You. Because Paul did the same thing that he kind of does in this one, where he draws this contrast of here's what things were like, or here's what some individuals are like, I should say. But you're going to be different than that, and he does that in this one as well as he paints this contrast. So there's something that he talks about here in the letter, of course, that would not be us, and then he flips it to what is us. Now, if you've been around a while, you will remember the old TV series Mission Impossible. If you've not been around a while, you remember the movie series Mission Impossible. I won't ask for a show of hands of who's been around a while and who's been around less of a while, but before the movies, there was a whole TV series of this whole Mission Impossible, and both of them centered around what was called the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force. What a name. The Impossible Mission Force. And the agents in the IMF would be given tasks, would be given missions that would seem that they were almost impossible to do, but these individuals had so many skills and talents and abilities that if they accepted the mission, they would be able to pull it off. And if you've been around, maybe you remember the lines where the person would be hearing the mission, where Agent Ian Hunt or whoever would be hearing the mission that would come, and then at the end of the mission, it would ask him a question. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, and it would say what it is, and then it would say this message will self-destruct when you're done, and smoke would come, and no one could know. There would be a plausible deniability for the government, and the case would go on. And Mission Impossible, what a name that it would be said. Well, we've been commissioned by God. We have a mission, and while it is great, the mission is possible. The mission is possible. But you have a mission. Come on, say, I have a mission. You have objectives in this room or at home. You have goals to be achieved. You have responsibilities to carry out, spiritual ones I'm talking about. We have tasks that have been designated to us. We have gifts and callings from God over our lives. And as Paul begins to wrap up his letter to Timothy, he drives this home to him. He says, Timothy, the children of God, they live their lives on purpose. Let me let that hang there for a second. The children of God live their lives on purpose. The children of God don't just kind of fumble along and just kind of see whatever happens. There's a purpose. There's a mission to our lives. There's a calling on our lives. There are things that God has called us to do. And we wake up in the morning knowing my life is a mission. You did today, you will tomorrow morning. You will wake up tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off and you will know the mercies of God are new for this morning. Hello, amen. Aren't you grateful that his mercies are new every morning? You will know this is the day the Lord has made, so I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But you will also know this. My life has a purpose. My life has meaning. There's a reason that I am here. God has things that he wants me to accomplish with my life. There are goals to be fulfilled. I am an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Come on, that's a big calling. I am an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Not just me, you are, we are. We are ambassadors for the kingdom, amen? Citizens from another place, the Bible tells us, who are here as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. God calls us to live strategically. Now, before the text addresses that mission specifically, first it lays a strong foundation for us this morning. In fact, there are five stones that are laid that the mission is built upon, because you got to have a strong foundation. The Freedom Tower in New York City that was built to replace the World Trade Centers, the Twin Towers, is 1,776 feet tall. That's pretty tall. Hello. The foundation for that goes 70 feet down into the ground. That's like a seven-story building down into the ground just to set that on. Because if you're going to build something that tall, come on, you're going to have quite the foundation to build it upon. So it's got this 70-foot concrete pour that goes underground to build it upon to give it that strong foundation. So before we consider the mission today, we want to consider the foundation that Paul lays out in our text in the Word of God today, because he gives us a challenge, he gives us a call, but he lays it upon a foundation. The first stone that foundation, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, we read it. Paul says there, he says, in the presence of God. So what he's going to say that we do, what he's going to say our calling is, he says that it's built on this foundation of the presence of God. You live in the presence of God. Come on, somebody give me an amen. You live in the presence of God. The psalmist asked this question in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? These are rhetorical questions. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So before the text gives us this commissions us, gives us this mission, this calling, it builds on these things. And the first things it builds on is the presence of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you live in the presence of God. We got that right. Amen. Is God at church? Sure, he's at church. But when you walk out the door, you don't leave God here. Hello. He's with you. Is God at home? Is he in your car? Is he at work? Is he at school? What if school's online? He's still there. He's still there. We live in the, that's the first thing Paul lays out. He says, in the presence of God. But then he lays the next stone. When he says God, he's talking about the Godhead altogether, Father and Son, Holy Spirit. But just in case we miss it, he drives this one home next. He says, in the presence of Jesus. In the presence of Jesus. What did Jesus tell us before he left? He said that he would be with us. He said it to his disciples, but it's a word to us as well. Lo, I am with you when you're at church. No, he said, I am with you. Come on, talk to me. I can hear you through your mask. Always. I am with you always. We're laying a foundation. We're laying a foundation for the mission. So he says, hey, in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus. We get that one as well. But then he picks the next stone, the next one. He refers to the judgment of God. That one doesn't sound as exciting as the first two, but it's also coming. But he mentions this. There's going to be a final judgment. You know that, right? Life doesn't just fumble along and the earth goes forever. A day comes things will come to an end. Matthew 25 tells us that a day is coming where God is going to separate the sheep and the goats. There'll be a final judgment of everything. Again, this is the foundation for where he's going. So we live in the presence of God. We live in the presence of Jesus. We know there's going to be a final judgment that is going to come over all things, where God judges everything here in the earth, all that has gone on. Then he picks the next stone. Remember these things. The next one that Paul mentioned in the first verse was, he says, and his appearing. Jesus is coming again. Hello. This is not my sermon points today. So no matter how long it takes me to walk through these five stones, this time doesn't count. I get a deduction, all right? I get a tax deduction. Are you with me today? I'll be quick afterwards, but it isn't. This is the foundation. Jesus is coming again. Boy, I better hear a good amen off of that one. Jesus is coming again. So what do we know? What do we know? Paul says, Timothy, you live in the presence of God. Jesus is always with you. Timothy, there's going to be a final judgment one day where God is going to judge everything and everyone. Jesus is coming again, and when he comes again, what's he going to set up? It's the last thing that he gives there as a foundation, the kingdom of God. He says, in view of his appearing and his kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is wherever God is. So the kingdom of God is a right now and a not yet reality. We live as citizens of the kingdom of God already, and yet the kingdom of God is also coming in the future as well, where God is going to set up his kingdom once again right here on this earth, the New Jerusalem. So here's the foundation. Let's walk over them fast so we can look at what Paul says there then. Timothy, in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, considering that there's going to be a final judgment, that's coming as well, and Jesus is coming again to set all this up, and then God is going to set up his kingdom. What he's saying is, because this is true, are you with me? Because this is true, here comes the mission. Because this is true, preach the word. Now, that's not just a call to pastors. That's a call to the church, because this is true. So I'm going to read the verse again, 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The word of God equips us. It gives us the tools that we need. When I preach the word of God, what I am doing is what the scriptures call, and the calling on my life, I am equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We come to church to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Hello, amen? I am not called by God to be an entertainer. I am not called by God just to make you laugh or try to make church fun. My calling is to equip you for the work of the ministry. The word of God equips us. It gives us the tools that we need to live for God is what it does. Now, I forgot to bring them in here with me, so you're going to have to take my word for it, but I was going to show you a couple of tools. And we bought those tall outdoor patio heaters this week. If you've ever bought furniture from a place like IKEA or somewhere else where you got it home and you had to put it together yourself, sometimes it comes with tools in the box. Those tools usually are a joke. They're cheap. They bend. They're of no real value. They aren't good tools. They might get that piece of furniture put together, but anybody who has real tools goes to their own toolbox instead of using the cheap ones that they throw in the box. And that was the kind of stuff they gave us with those heaters. The word of God gives us good tools. Preach the word, it says. Be ready in and out of season. But then he talks about how to do it. Because see, preach the word, it's talking about what we're doing right now, but it's also just talking about how we live our lives, not just our time at church. So how am I going to preach the word? How am I going to preach the word out of season as opposed to just in season and correct and rebuke and encourage, if you will? How am I going to do that? Let's say I'm talking to my neighbor. Let's say I'm talking to a coworker. You're talking to a classmate. You're talking to a friend, whoever. And they say something that is just clearly not biblical. It is just clearly an unbiblical thing, what just came out of their mouth in that context. How do we respond in that context is what 2 Timothy equips us for. Do we respond in arrogance? Do we respond in haughtiness? Do we not respond at all? No one will receive those things. Instead, we get this instruction of, with great patience and careful instruction, we correct, rebuke, and encourage. So I asked Caleb to help me out. So Caleb, come up here quickly if you would. And everybody give Caleb a big round of applause if you're in the room. That wasn't really a big round of applause, but I'll accept it for you, Caleb. Yes, so grab that microphone over there, and there's a button on it that you can switch on, Caleb, and you'll have to take your mask off, yeah, when you speak with me. Grab that and turn it on. This is Caleb. He's going to help me out here real quick. Now, again, the call here is preach the word, and the equipping is it tells us how to do that. So for this context, Caleb will be a guy where I'm buying a cup of coffee in the morning and somehow I've struck up a conversation with him. All right, are you with me? Step a little farther forward, Caleb, because Hector's going to want to get you on the camera. But stay 6 feet away because I know you got the COVID. Okay, no. So, stay over there. So we're just going to pick up mid-conversation here, all right? We're being equipped. We're being equipped for the work of the ministry. Caleb, throw something at me.
I don't think people need to be religious. I think as long as you're good and nice to people, that's more than enough.
That is the dumbest thing I ever heard anybody say in my life. Now, did I just do what the Bible called me to do? Not at all. I did not do what God just called me to do. Because did I instruct him in careful, in patience with careful instruction? There was no patience and careful instruction. But if we're not careful, and I want to tell you what, church, this is true in an age of social media, perhaps more than it's been true in any other day, because I see even believers from other churches, not from this one. I even see believers sometimes respond online to people very abrasively about things. But the Bible tells me to instruct and correct and rebuke Caleb in patience with careful instruction, right? So let's try it again. Caleb, say to me what you said again.
I don't think people need to be religious. As long as you're nice and good to people, that's more than enough.
Well, Caleb, I agree with you completely that people do need to be nice and good to people. The Bible does speak specifically about that, about being kind. So you're sure not wrong about that one. But I do believe that what the Bible says is true when Jesus says that he's the only way to heaven. So it is important that we're good and we're kind, but we still need to put our faith in Jesus. So what I want you to catch with what I say to him when I'm saying that there is my response. I need to be equipped through God's word because Paul says, in light of these things, come on, here's what I can't do. Here's what I can't do to Caleb. Can you say it one more time?
I don't think people need to be religious. I think you just need to be good, you know, kind.
Whatever floats your boat. I can't ignore what he said, because if I do, I leave him misled. Hello, are you with me? And it can be easy to just ignore what he said, my coworker or whoever, and just because I don't want to create any tension or awkwardness or whatever like that. The call is, come on, Jesus is coming again. Caleb's soul is valuable. God loves him. Jesus died for him, just like he died for me. There's going to be a final judgment over all the earth. He needs to know what's true, just as I need to know what's true. You with me? Your coworker does. Your neighbor does. But how we instruct them, how we rebuke them, how we correct them, of course, is in patience with careful instruction, is what the Word of God says. Don't you think he's going to be a whole lot more likely to receive what I say if I respond patiently with careful instruction instead of just coming after him? So we still speak the truth, but how do we do it? Come on, it's another verse. Yep, tenderly. We speak it in love. In love is how we do it. You did awesome. You can give him a bigger round of applause this time than you did last time. Yeah. We speak the truth. We rebuke, we correct, we encourage with great patience and careful instruction is the call. Let me give you one other thing today that connects with that one as well, because the text then calls us something else, and that is, he says, keep your head. So we're going to preach the word. We're going to let people know in and out of season what the truth of God's word is. Come on, our country needs the truth of God's word. Our country needs the truth of God. You don't too much of our country, they just look into, you see it in election season more than any other time, but too much of our country is primarily looking to the government. They look to the government for what is true, what is right, what is good, what is wrong. Come on, the word of God is what is true and lasts forever. Hello. We're the ones with the truth. And I'm not implying that that is not important. We pray, we're involved, we do those things. But we have to remember that who has the truth is the Church of Jesus Christ. We have what is true. It's God's word that we're bringing. So it's important that we remember that. This text calls us to something else in this preaching of the word, in light of all these things, this foundation. And that's where he says, to keep your head, to keep your head. I heard a story of this woman who went to the funeral home after her husband had died. And when she got there, she came in before the wake, and the funeral home director brought her in so that she could see the body of her husband that had been prepared for the funeral. And when she walked in, she was so shocked to discover that the suit that was on her husband was not the suit that she had brought for him. They had put different clothing on her husband than what she had brought in. And when she came in, she called the director over, and she says, I brought a blue suit for my husband. This is a tan suit. This is not the one I brought. I cannot believe that this happened. And the funeral director is like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he looked around. And in the parlor next, there was another viewing wake that was about to happen, and he called her over, and he said, was this your husband's suit? And she says, it was. So somehow they had put her husband's suit on the other body and that guy's suit on her husband's body. And he was like, I'm so sorry. We're going to get this right as quick as we can. If you can just wait over there. And then she heard him yell out to his coworker. He said, hey, Tom, switch the heads on the guys in parlors 2 and 4. Come on, it's a terrible joke, and I made the whole thing up. You know that never happened. You know that never happened altogether. So, but you're with me. I'm just making sure you're awake. You're with me, all right? Keep your head is what he says. You're going to keep your own head. Keep your head in all situations. With everyone around us is losing their minds, we keep our heads. Have you ever noticed that it gets a little crazy out there? Come on, it gets a little crazy out there in the world. But the church, believers in Jesus Christ, we keep our heads. God is with you. Jesus is in you. Judgment is coming. Jesus is coming again to usher in his kingdom. Remember your foundation. And because of that foundation, we remember that we don't just preach the word with the words we speak. The Bible says we are living epistles. We are living letters being read by all men in this and every day. And in that, we've got to keep our own heads, that we make sure that what they're reading is good. Praise God. Here's a great quote from Francis of Assisi from many centuries ago. He said this, it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. Just leave that there for a second because I love that quote. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. What was he saying? Come on. The life we live has got to be a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because I can go walk up the street and preach, but if the way I was on my way there, nobody's going to want to hear anything I have to say anyway. It won't even matter. We live this out. Keep your head. Stay calm when all gets crazy around you altogether. Now, that's not a call to not use our words. It's a reminder to also use our lives. Our steadfastness in our faith during turbulent times is a testimony to the power of the gospel and the presence of God in our lives. And then Paul very quickly gives some quick subpoints here that we might call them about keeping our heads. He says, endure hardship. In other words, man, we're the light of the world, but when things get tough and things get hard, what are we going to do? We're still going to keep our heads. You're going to endure hardship. So when it gets crazy, what are we going to do? I'm going to keep my head. I'm not going to lose my mind, if you will. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Reach the lost. In other words, when I'm sharing my faith, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep my head. I'm going to keep my head. I'm going to stay sharp. I'm going to stay focused on what my call is. He tells him also, discharge all the duties of your ministry. That is, whatever it is you do. Keep your head when serving God seems long or challenging. Don't quit. Keep your head. We have a strong foundation. We have a strong foundation is where this all begins with. In the presence of God. In the presence of Jesus. considering this, that a final judgment is coming, that Jesus is appearing, Jesus is returning, and he's going to usher back the kingdom of God, that new Jerusalem, because this is true, this is that foundation, what are we going to do? We're going to preach the word in and out of season with our lives. We're going to speak truth. We're going to live truth to those around us, and we're going to keep our heads. Man, you turn on the news, you see a whole lot of folks when things get crazy do not keep their heads. Hello. But we're the church. We're the church. We remember who we are, and we stay focused, and we live in that anointing and that equipping that God has given us. When everything around us shakes, we remember our mission. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, so let's live as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. This equips us as we go out. People need Jesus. Let's go give him to them. Amen? Let's go give him to them in careful patience, careful instruction as we present that truth to them. Praise God. Would you stand with me at this time? Walter, would you come and just play for me if you would as we close out here this morning? We're going to live as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe that the world has always needed that. I believe, of course, that our nation has always needed that. Our state, the DMV, the metro region, has always needed that. But come on, when you look at the date, we live in 2020. We live in 2020. You could have been born any time, in any season, in any place. You could have been. I could have been. The Bible tells us that God chooses our times and our seasons. But God chose to place us right here in this here and now, in this day, which means our purpose is here and now, in this day. In the light of everything that goes on and all the turmoil around us in this season, we looked at it a couple of Sundays ago because Paul had it in Timothy. Let's keep glowing. Let's keep glowing. Let's keep being the light of the world. We have this mission, commissioned by God. Let's be who God has called us to be. Let me pray a fresh anointing over us today. If you're at home, I'm praying it over you, over all of us in this room. Let's just pray. We're going to head out this week to the workplace, to wherever. People are going to spend. You know what's going to dominate the conversation this week? What's going to dominate the conversation this week is politics and COVID. Come on. We already know, right? That's going to dominate the conversation everywhere we go this week. It's going to be politics and COVID. In the midst of that, we'll talk about those things as well. But come on, let's make sure we bring some Jesus up into that conversation. Hello. Amen. Let's make sure we bring the truths of God's word up in there in our lives as well. Let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now we pray. God, we want a fresh anointing from you. A fresh anointing from you. Our mission is possible. You have called us, Lord God, in and out of season, to be ready to live this life, to keep our heads in chaotic days, Lord God, and to continue, Lord God, to present you to the world. We're so grateful that somebody presented you to us, Lord God, and somebody told us about you, Lord God. I pray that through us, I pray it over us in the workplace, in the marketplace, online, in the classroom, wherever it is this week, Lord God, I pray that we will be a demonstration of your peace. We will be a demonstration of your love, of your kindness, of your goodness. May the fruit of the Spirit be so evident in our lives this week, I pray, Lord God, that others will see, wow, what a difference Jesus makes in that individual's life. Hallelujah. And may people be drawn to you then, drawn to you then through the lives that we live. I pray it over us in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, before you walk out this room, somebody say, but me. That was the call. That was the call at the beginning. Paul says, hey, things are going to get crazy out there. People are going to lose their minds. But you won't be like that. You won't. You'll live the life. You'll present what's true. That's who you will be in the midst of that. Let's walk in that. Amen. God bless you. God bless you at home. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. Amen. Hey, for those of you who are in this room, the ushers will kind of help to guide you out, but you also can hang in here for a little bit and pray if you would like to. We do ask. It's beautiful outside. So to greet your friends, somebody you see, go love on them outside in the sunshine and not inside so that we can make sure we maintain that social distancing. God bless you as you live a great week in Him. Amen.